Amen. And I'll do mine at the conclusion. So let's look and learn what this word has said. Again, it's Strong's number 2617. And we're going to start off with... with our Father's perspective, one of the problems we can have when we're studying scriptures in time is we're looking at things from our perspective. Can you even think of 1,000 years from now?
No.
No, you can't even wrap your mind around it. We can look backwards, but looking 1,000 years ahead, we don't understand that. As an introduction to this, we're not going to go to the scriptures because of time. But we get to see Yahweh's Hesed for the dead, first example that I found in Genesis. And the word Hesed is not used until a lot later on in Genesis. But you're going to get to see Yahweh doing something for a dead person. And that was actually in Genesis chapter 4:10. It says, Abel is crying unto me. He's dead. Genesis 3 says, 3:19, this is contrary to Christian belief, Adam and Eve, dust. When you die, you turn to dust. Is there any hope in that? There is no hope in death. You're dust. Well, Adam and Eve had no hope. Genesis 3:15 was, there'll be a resurrection. Actually, Genesis 3:15 is the second Adam. He didn't come and fix all this. So what is their hope? When you're done, you'll be dirt. Cain will be dirt. A will be dirt. Well, that's depressing in a hope of a resurrection. Now, from our perspective, we're kind of like, oh, okay, that's kind of a rough start, right? James 4:4 says, Yahweh teaches us that life is a vapor. It's going to be gone that quick. Don't blink. Don't waste it. 2 Peter 3:18 also says, 1,000 years to him is as a day. Why is that important? Because when Cain murders Abel, when Cain murders Abel, how soon is it going to be before Yahweh gets to see him again? Forever to us.
Yeah.
To Yahweh, it's 7 days. That's nothing. I'm going to see him soon, and he's going to see how I handle what happened to him. Abel was robbed. The scripture says Abel was righteous sacrifice. Cain was evil. And what's going to... Are Adam and Eve in the text? No. As far as we know, who knows what the heck's going on here? There's no witnesses. Yahweh's a witness. And then Yahweh's a witness to himself, because one day Abel's going to get to see that Yahweh had Hesed for Abel because he was righteous. And afterwards, he confronts Cain, curses him. Here's the beginning of that. But it's for the dead. He's gone. Remember, Yahweh's going to see him in like 7 days. And if somebody did something to my mom, they're like, well, she's not here. She's going to be back. Put that back. Well, she's gone. She'll be gone for a week. Put it back right now. I'm going to break your face. Because she's coming back. And so it's just another way of looking at these things specifically for the dead. Unfortunately, my brother-in-law recently died. I've never had to experience anything like this. Where I owed something to somebody. And now they're gone. Well, guess I don't owe anything anymore. Not necessarily. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. So we would think that way. Well, what's the point now? Now today, with the doctrines of men, the scriptures say when people die, they go to sleep. Asleep. David is asleep, Acts 2. Stephen fell asleep, I think it's Acts 7. So people will try to honor the dead because they think they're watching them. They're not watching them. But eventually, I believe that they're going to get to watch some sort of type of movie to see how you did honor them. And that is honorable. And it gives us a good encouragement to do honorable things. Let's see here. Should be 285. The book of Ruth, before this word has said, before my understanding of this word, it appears... Well, we'll just go to verse 16. I'm going to go off...
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1, verse 16. And I told my sister this recently because I felt in my heart, that's called a word of knowledge, she was wavering on something. And as I'm pondering, going, what is she wavering on? And it's none of my business. Encourage her on this. So last night, I got to take a picture of the sun going down after a workout. Picture turned out great. And it was Ruth's response to her mother-in-law. Ruth got married. She's a Moabitess. And her husband dies. Her sister-in-law dies. And her mother-in-law says, you don't have to come with me. Go back to Moab. Go get married. And Ruth goes, it's a beautiful. Why don't you read verse 16?
Me?
Yeah, go ahead.
And Ruth said, do not urge me to leave thee, to go back from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy Elohim my Elohim.
It would appear from this, if you just take this out of context, that there's a relationship with this mother-in-law and this daughter-in-law. Not necessarily. It didn't say they had the best relationship ever. What we're going to get to see is Ruth's chesed. Her chesed. Go back to verse 8. After Naomi and her husband flee Judah, Bethlehem, because they're wicked and there's famine, and they go into Moab, and their sons marry unbelievers. And here's Moabites. And then her sons die. And now she's got two daughter-in-laws. And then she hears this, that there's blessings back in Bethlehem. So I'm going to go back home. There's food there, but you don't have to come with me. And so, and this is what Naomi, would somebody read verse 8, please?
This said Naomi to her two daughters-in-law, go return each one to the house of her mother. Yahweh deal with you in chesed as you have dealt with the dead as with me.
How many entities have they dealt with chesed? The dead and me. And what's really neat about this story of Ruth is Ruth, Naomi, is releasing both of her daughter-in-laws from the chesed from her. And Naomi's not going to leave. And later on we're going to find it's because of the chesed for the dead. Her husband. And with my sister, I sent her the scripture, verse 16. Be like Ruth, it says, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. But not to a man, but to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wherever you go, I'm going. I'm not leaving. Honor it. Stick with it. And it was also in my heart. Said, when somebody gets married, my brother got married, engaged to this crazy woman. I couldn't stand it. She broke up the band. It used to be the three brothers going out. Yeah, flirting with girls, having fun. Then all of a sudden he's combing his hair. He's whitening his teeth. Then he can't come out with us. What is this? He had a new covenant, a relationship. Everything started changing. And now I can't do those things. Why? He was honoring a relationship. And Ruth is going to be doing this. But if you blink, you're going to miss this whole thing. Because Ruth's not going to leave. Why? Chesed for the dead. And it's going to be chesed for the living too. Because that's going to be repeated again. Because if you read here, we're going to go to 2 verse 20. And, I forgot with the point of verse 8. Yahweh deal with you in chesed. What does that mean? Well, we're going to learn from the context. If you practice chesed, if you plant wheat, you can expect wheat. If you practice chesed, you can expect chesed. And you should expect it from your brothers. And if your brothers and sisters won't give chesed, Yahweh will always have his chesed. If you do your job. But she says, you practice your chesed. And in my understanding, looking at this, it was almost like Ruth has a choice now. I'm off the hook. The other one was like, all right, I'm out. Ruth, what if Ruth knew about this word chesed? My husband is dead. He did this for me. He introduced me to the Elohim of Israel. Out of Moabitess things or whatever, we don't know. She's a convert now. And she's going to go, Yahweh, deal with me. And has said, yes, I'm not leaving. She made a choice. Verse 20, if somebody would read verse 20.
Then said Naomi to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Yahweh who hath not left off his chesed to the living and to the dead.
to the dead. Yahweh really honors his said for the dead. He's watching. As a father watches and he's seeing things on a live camera, children being, maybe they're off the hook. Well, you don't have to pay me back that money. Mom and everyone, BS! They didn't pay it back last time. You're going to pay it back with interest this time. That's how our father's watching. He's watching all this stuff. And what are you going to do for this dead man that introduced you to me? And here it is. The Hesed for the living and for the dead. Ruth had very high standards and she understood this word. And we're going to go on to, she gets to meet Boaz. Boaz is a righteous man. And Boaz said all that, you know, in verse 11, Boaz, we won't go there, but Boaz goes, it's been told me about what you've been doing. Who does that? Who honors a dead person like that? And but she is. And Boaz is like, wow. Now verse 3:10. Somebody read that for me.
And he said, blessed be thou of Yahweh, my daughter, for thou hast made thy last hased better than the first, and not following after young men, whether poor or rich.
The last has said better than the first. What is this? Any other translation, you're going to completely miss this. Because they're going to say, your kindness. What she's doing isn't kind. She's not being merciful. She's honoring a covenant. And who knows what she made up with her father. That's what I was teaching my sister, or sharing with my sister. I was like, you make that covenant, and you keep that one thing right, your hased, your whatever your covenant was, everything else will work. I said, I have a feeling that there's jobs that are flirting with you, but it's like a man who flirts with a lot of different women. It's not what you think. Get Yahweh right. And so, but the first to say was what? She was still honoring her mother-in-law. Even if her mother-in-law doesn't want to be, didn't want her, even if her mother-in-law let her off, what would honor her dead husband? Take care of my mom. Are you kidding me? You're going to let my mom go by herself from Moab to Bethlehem? Where are you going? And he's not watching, but he's going to get to watch. Yahweh's watching. And what does she do? What is this last has said for the dead? Not only did you leave your home and take care of this woman and you're feeding her and you're working and you're an outsider, is she uncomfortable? Yes. What is the last has said? Turn to chapter 4, verse 5. And somebody read that for me. And Boaz is going to marry her because of the has said for the dead. Here's Bethlehem. People have just returned, and this when Boaz is going to marry him. They're going to. This is their response.
Verse 5.
Yeah.
Then said Boaz, "What day thou takest over the land from the hand of Naomi, also of Ruth the Moabitess, wife of the dead, dost thou take it to raise up the name of the dead upon his..."
Okay, I misquoted that. So it was the right verse, but the wrong context. Later on, they're going to bless him and say, maybe, this is not the response, but this is Boaz. Raise up the name of the dead. You're supposed to have a child. And so what is Elastis said? She's going to have a baby. For who? Her dead husband. What? Who's watching this? The all-seeing eye. Does the maker of the eye not see? They said, I don't have to pay it back. Do what you want. I had to do that once with him. My son stole a ping pong ball. I was going looking for cars. He was probably 4. And we'll go look at a car, and I saw a ping pong ball in this guy's yard. I drove it, I took it back. Thank you, appreciate it. We come home, he pulls this thing out of his pocket, and I went, you brought an accursed thing into this house? He's like, what? You just stole. Do you know what that means? You brought a sin into this house. And he's like, I'm 4. I didn't matter. You just stole from that person. We're the ambassadors of Yahweh and Jesus Christ. Let's go to the scriptures. There's a 4-year-old. You owe him what? 7 ping pong balls. 5 to 7. Go get your wallet. He goes and gets his wallet, and it broke my heart more than his. And he pulled his money out, and we went and bought the ping pong balls. The good news for him is they came in like in a package of 8. So you get to keep the rest of them. But you're going to write an apology. And we mailed them back. So what? It matters to him. Yahweh goes, that's my law. What if the kid just rebelled? It's never lost. Every act of obedience and honor for our father is going to be honored one day. And when is that? When is Christ coming back? Can you imagine, but anyways, and how is Ruth blessed at the conclusion of all this? She marries a wealthy, wonderful man, and they have the grandfather of King David, and there's a line. And when is Ruth's dead husband going to get to see all this honor? In a blink of an eye, in a vapor. 1,000 years as the day is, the day is 1,000 years. He's going to get to see this, and Yahweh's writing it. Write that down. Write that down. Like an accountant, or put these things down. So there's one example of the chesed for the dead. Ruth practiced chesed, therefore she received chesed. What happened to the other sister-in-law?
We don't know.
She didn't practice it. Don't know. But you don't put it in, you don't get it back. What an example, the chesed for the dead on there. The next one we're going to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 31. It's going to be the chesed of Jabesh Gilead. Somebody read 31 verse 11 for me.
And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard concerning him what the Philistines had done unto Saul, then arose all the men of valor, and journeyed all the night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burned them there, and took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh, and fasted 7 days.
What just happened? Saul, with the biggest army of Israel, David's got his little band, but this is the major army, just lost, completely defeated. The people took his bodies, and these guys, Jabesh Gilead, invaded the victorious army into their city to do what? To take the bodies down and then go bury them. What's that all about? That doesn't make sense. You're going to go risk your life for this? 40 years before, and King David's going to call this chesed. Okay? 40 years before, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 298. Is somebody going to read 11?
Wait a minute. What did you say?
298. 1 Samuel chapter 11.
Oh, first.
Oh, first. Is somebody going to read 1 through 11? You guys take turns if you don't mind.
Okay, wait a minute. You did say 2 Samuel.
I did?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 Samuel, sorry.
Okay, 11. What verses?
1 through 11.
You want to start, Wendy?
I'm sorry. Chapter what?
11. 1 through...
Well, we don't...
Okay.
For sake of time, I might speed things up. Read 11 through... Actually, it's through 12. 11 through 11. Jabesh Gilead is surrounded. Nahash the Ammonite. And in verse 2... Nahash the Ammonite said unto them, Hereby will I solemnize a covenant. If you dig out... By digging out of you every... one's right eye and laying it for reproach, then he'll leave this the terms. They don't have an army. Israel later on will find out that Saul and Jonathan eventually acquire steel for swords. They don't have swords, chariots. Who are these people? As far as we know, they're like farmers. It's a bunch of farmers. But the Jabesh Gilead is surrounded. Verse 4, and messengers came into Gibeah. Who lives in Gibeah? A man named Shaul. At Gibeah, they speak this to Gibeah of Saul, and they spoke the words. And Saul came in following the oxen in verse 5. And a neat thing in verse 6, and the Ruah of Elohim, or the Spirit of God, came suddenly upon Shaul when he heard these words, and his anger raged furiously. There's righteous anger. Yahweh is slow to anger. But what happened to him is he started overwhelming in rage. And... overwhelming in rage. It's his anger raged furiously. So he took the oxen, he cuts his oxen up. And what's he say down here with the whosoever? Whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. He just threatened everybody, their whole livelihood. We're going to burn your house down. Come out to go to war, or we're going to attack you. That doesn't sound like volunteers. And what happens? Then fell the dread of Yahweh upon the people, and they came forth as one man. Why did he have to threaten them? These weren't volunteers. They did not want to come and save Jabesh Gilead. They're afraid of them or whatever's going on. And you scroll down the last half of verse 9. And when the messengers came and told the men of Jabesh, they rejoiced. They were saved by Saul. What swords did they have? No swords. What chariots did they have? No chariots. What do they have? We don't know. Pitchforks or farmers and stuff. But Yahweh raised them up and saved them. They're at a point, do we dig out our right eye? And people believe that if you don't have your right eye, you can't shoot arrows. Okay? They didn't say that. But can you imagine your whole family about ready to possibly dig out a right eye? Then Saul Gibeah shows up. And everybody shows up. And later on you go, oh, those weren't volunteers. Saul was going to kill all their oxen if they didn't show up. And you're like, is this true? Can you guys validate this? Oh, yes, Saul did that. What did Jabesh Gilead do afterwards? Turn to chapter 2 Samuel chapter 2. This is page 322. I'll give you the pages so we try to cover all the stuff. And this is the direct reading after Jabesh Gilead steal the bodies, risk everything to take the bodies. And who's going to see this? Somebody read 5 and 6 for me.
So David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh Gilead and said unto them, blessed be ye of Yahweh that ye did this asad unto your Lord, unto Saul, and buried him. Now therefore Yahweh requite thee with Asad and Emet, or truth. Moreover also, I will requite you for this noble deed and that you did this thing.
So, what did we just learn? David, a prophet, is going to say, you did Asad unto your Lord, now therefore Yahweh is going to requite you with Asad. Mm-hmm. And then David goes, I am also. And so here's these things. That has said for the dead. Yahweh is the author of these things, and he's pointing some things out that this really, really honors this type of thing. Here's David. Wow. So we learn from Jabesh Gilead, there has said for the dead, and while they're, and Yahweh, David says, is going to reward them for their has said, and so is King David. So should us as examples too. When we see somebody, especially has said for the dead, there's no reward in that. From a natural standpoint, but we should really encourage it. A next example is Hesed. This Hesed, like Jabesh Gilead, is not an unconditional covenant. It is something that could be broken, forfeited, and you could actually free somebody from their obligation. And it could have been that's what Naomi was doing with Ruth, possibly. Second Samuel chapter 2. Let's see here. Yeah, there it is. This is always really unusual to me. Because later on in the book, David is going to say, Abner, he's going to reprove his cousin, Joab, for murdering a more righteous man than he. Who is that more righteous man? Abner, the general of Saul's army. Okay, that's interesting. Saul went evil. Abner was with an evil guy. How do you explain that? Chapter 2, verse 8. If somebody read that, please.
But Abner, son of Ner, prince of the host that pertaineth unto Saul, took Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And made him king. Keep going.
Yeah, Mahanaim and made him king in Gilead. Saul's dead. David's got his people. And Abner is going to make Ishbosheth, Saul's son, king. Why did he do that? Turn the page. We're going to go down to verse 8 and 9. Abner had sex with one of Saul's concubines, verse 7. And this new puppet king that he sets up is going to reprove him, and Abner is going to be infuriated. Okay. verse 8, and it provoked Abner greatly on account of the words of Ishbosheth, and he said, am I the head of the dogs that pertaineth unto Judah? Today would I deal in Hesed with the house of Shaul, thy father, towards his brethren and towards his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, and yet thou hast charged me with his transgression of the woman today. So may Elohim do to Abner, and so may he add to him, if as Yahweh had sworn unto David. Wait a minute. Abner knew that Yahweh swore to David the kingdom. Why did he do this with Ishbosheth? He says, said for the dead, Saul. And Abner is going to confront it and said, because of the hesed for your father has nothing to do with you, Ishbosheth. I made you king when David's supposed to be the king, but now you've just broken the hesed. I'm going to the king. And then Ishbosheth is going to say, so Abner sent messengers to David, and Ishbosheth didn't say anything to Abner. Abner probably might have killed him. But here is Abner going, why did he do this? He had hesed for the dead. Who recorded this account?
Yeah.
Yahweh, the author. This has said for the dead. Here it is. It's said being broken. And he's off the hook now. He did it. And for the records, let's just say Saul repented at the end, which he didn't. But if he was at the resurrection, wow, thank you, Abner. Look what you did. Yeah, he blew it. You're taking care of my sons. He did what? If you get to see the movie. So there's an example of Hesed being broken. The lesson is, who is my brother, my sister, my mother? Those who do my father's will. But if somebody, your mother and your father is the fifth commandment. You owe Hesed to them. They bathed you, they fed you, they corrected you, they disciplined you, they reared you, and you owe the Hesed to Yahweh when you were in the womb. What did you do? You did nothing. And here's Yahweh in the taking care of you. You owe it. And that is Hesed. For your parents. The scriptures don't call it Hesed, but it's going to be an illustration of it. But somebody can break it. It could be a child. It could be a parent. I did owe you, but you just did what? My mother just voted for Barack Obama, and now she's petitioning to keep abortions legal? That's done. I can't go that way. The Hesed has been broken. And it'd be good to have a witness. Here I am. I honor my mother and my father, but here's sodomy and all the rest of things, the Democrat Party. I can't go that way. That's a witness. You're off. You're off the hook. Here's going to be another example of Ishbosheth's brother possibly breaking the Hesed. Excuse me. We'll come back to that. We're going to look at David's Hesed for the dead. Yeah, so here's David's Hesed for the dead. If we turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. Is somebody going to read that for me?
And David said, Is there yet one left unto the house of Saul that I may show him Hesed for the sake of Jonathan?
Show him Hesed. Keep Hesed. Do Hesed. But what is this Hesed for Jonathan? When you learn this word, we should circle and go, what is this Hesed? if you turn to, we're going to come right back in this direction, but if we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 20, page 310. It's at 310. It might be 309. It's 309. King David, 19 verse 18. David fled and escaped into. David flees Saul once. This is his father-in-law. Jonathan is his brother-in-law. And verse 20, chapter 20. David, I'll just sum this up in this chapter. He's going to go to his brother-in-law and go, your dad's trying to kill me. And Jonathan is going to say, my dad doesn't do anything without me knowing. David goes, he knows that you won't let him do it, but he's going to kill me. And they're going to sit there at verse 5. David has an idea. I believe that David believed he was going to kill him at this feast. There's going to be a feast where I have to be there. When I don't show up there and your dad looks for me, tell him that you let me go. And what happens is the plan works because Saul flips out because he's not there. And I think it's because he's planning on killing him. Because he turns on Jonathan just like that. Like you saw it in my plan. And verse 8, chapter 20, thus shalt thou do a hased for thy servant, for into a covenant of Yahweh hast thou brought thy servant with thee. Jonathan, will you do a hased? Keep reading. Verse 14, Jonathan agrees to this hased of saving his brother-in-law's life. In verse 14, and Jonathan says, here is the stipulation. And not only while I yet live, shalt thou deal with me in hased of Yahweh, that I die not, that's hased for the living, but thou shalt not cut off thy hased from my house unto time's age abiding, the hased for the dead. David agrees it. Jonathan, Saul's dead. By chapter 9, of 2 Samuel, David said, is there not anybody that I can show my hased for Jonathan? And what do they find? Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth in chapter 9, he's lame because they dropped him. I don't know how long ago this was after. I think he was an infant when his dad and his grandfather died. Now he's lame, maybe a paraplegic. In verse 7 of chapter 9, and David said unto Mephibosheth, do not fear, for I will indeed show thee hased for the sake of Jonathan thy father. You're going to eat at the king's table. And I believe he said, oh yeah, verse 9, all that pertaineth unto Saul, Shaul, and to his house have I given unto the son of the Lord. This is the man who's trying to kill you, Saul, Shaul. And what does he do from Mephibosheth? From being in hiding, where he's going to be killed, to not sitting at the king's table. Why? He says it's for Jonathan, that has said for Jonathan. Yahweh's watching us. Later on, though, let's see. Chapter 19, verse 24 of 2 Samuel. Absalom, David's own son, tries to kill him. He comes in. let's see. That's in 1924. Okay, I skipped something. I missed out on a verse. There was, is actually Second Samuel chapter 15 and 16. I missed the other one. It's very unusual. David flees. Okay, I found it. The top of chapter 15 is David flees. There's a time to flee. David flees. Verse 16, chapter 16. After the war's over, David's returning. I think it was starting at chapter 16, verse 1. David's returning. Chapter 16, verse 1, David had passed on but a little from the summit when lo, Ziba, servant of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, met him with a couple of asses saddled and upon them 200 cakes of bread, 100 cakes of raisins, and 100 summer fruits and skins of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses are for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruits are for the young men to eat, and the wine is to drink to such as are faint in the wilderness. And the king said, where is thy Lord's son? Because when David was defecting, his faithful practice has said, and they left with him. Mephibosheth didn't go. David said, where did he go? Where is he? This occurrence with Ziba, you have to put a footnote on it or an asterisk because that doesn't make sense to me. Then said and Ziba said unto the king, lo, abiding in Jerusalem, for he said, today will the house of Israel restore unto me the kingdom of my father. It looks like Ziba said, Mephibosheth thinks he's getting his kingdom back. I don't understand that. We do understand later on, Mephibosheth's going to call him evil. So I'm not quite sure what's happening there, but David goes, where is Mephibosheth? Is this chesed broken? And you keep reading this. One real important thing about that, the chesed possibly being broken, is Proverbs 18, verse 17. This word chesed in Yahweh is so honorable. It appears, now I have not studied this account, but it's very unusual. Because it looks like Ziba said, Mephibosheth said, hey, I'm getting my kingdom, is what it looks like. Later on, Mephibosheth's going to say Ziba was, he lied, but David's still going to honor Ziba. So I don't understand the whole occurrence. But when David hears this from Ziba, Proverbs 18:7 says, one side of the story always sounds right until you hear the other side. This is chesed for the dead. Yahweh is watching. What does David do? David doesn't do anything until he gets to see Mephibosheth face to face. Let's see here. It is in chapter 19, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor his clothes had he washed from the day the king departed unto the day that he entered in peace. And it came to pass when he had entered Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? This is just like his brother, Ishbosheth, who broke that chesed. And he said, my lord, O king, my servant betrayed me. Then you go back and you go to read, what did Ziba say? 16 verse 3, Ziba says, today the house of Israel restored to me the kingdom of my father. My servant betrayed me, and maybe that's not Ziba. I don't understand it. Would somebody keep reading for me?
Which verse?
Where I stopped. I will even saddle mine, I ask that I may ride thereon and go with the king, for lame is thy servant. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as a messenger of Elohim. Do therefore what is good in thine own eyes. For when all the house of my father were nothing better than dead men unto my lord the king, then didst thou set thy servant among them, that thou used to eat at thy table. What then have I further by way of right to cry out any further unto the king? And the king said unto him, wherefore shouldst thou speak any further of thine affairs? I have said thou and Ziba shall share the land. Unless the servant that betrayed him wasn't Ziba. Maybe there's a servant that lied to Ziba. I don't know. But that's not the point. But the point is, it appears that David is betrayed, stabbed in the back. David goes and investigates, just like Proverbs 18:17 would suggest, face to face, what's going on here. And what happens is, it says not broken. And he did that for Jonathan's sake, not for Mephibosheth. It said for the living. Go back to chapter 15. It's really needed. Before we go there, who is the only friend of Yahweh in scriptures?
Moses.
No.
Oh. David?
No. Abraham.
Okay.
Friend of Yahweh. Do you know to my knowledge, who's the only friend of David? Who's called David's friend?
Jonathan.
I've read through here many, 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 many times. I love 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, all this stuff. And I don't think I really ever saw these words until somewhat recently. But specifically with chesed, because as I'm listening to Word of Promise, you start hearing him say, is this the mercy you are showing, or is this the kindness you are showing? And you automatically know this is the word chesed. But when David this is back to David fleeing from Absalom, Verse 32, and it came to pass, David reached the summit where he bowed himself down unto Elohim, that lo, there met him Hushai, the Archite, his tunic rent and earth upon his head. And David said unto him, if thou pass over with me, basically, David talks to Hushai and says, instead of you coming with me, you're going to slow us down. Instead, go to Absalom and frustrate me, the counsel of Ahithophel, his chief counselor. And verse 37, would somebody read just the beginning of verse 37? So Hushai, David's friend,
went into the city.
But it's just neat. Yahweh points out David's friend.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw Jonathan's friend. It didn't say Samuel was his friend.
They loved each other.
Jonathan, there was something with, but it didn't say Jonathan's a friend. As far as I could see, I could be wrong. Hushai, David's friend, went into the city with Absalom. What does he do? He's going to lie to the enemy. And he's going to do some counter-operative spying.
Yeah.
And he's going to set them up for failure. And what's going to happen if he gets caught? He's dead. Okay, so what does this have to do with this said? When Hushai does come, and he's in verse 15, he goes to the new king that he's going to lie for the sake of his said, his friend. And Absalom and all the men of Israel entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass when Hushai, the Archite, the friend of David. Man, wouldn't that be nice if that was you?
Yeah.
You know who's mentioned in the scriptures more than any other person besides Yahweh? David. Hushai, one of these days he's going to say, look at that! Didn't call you a friend, not you. Yes, I made it in the text. Bow, it's the beginning. But David, the friend of David, came in unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. Then said Absalom to Hushai, would somebody read that?
Is this thy hased unto thy friend?
To thy friend. Is this your hased to your friend? You owe your friend. I know who you are. This is my father. This is your hased? You're going to betray him?
Yeah, wherefore wentest thou not with thy friend?
You should have been with him. Mephibosheth didn't go with him. What are you doing here? And he's going to say, he doesn't use the word, but he goes, basically, my alliance is to Yahweh, you are the king. And Absalom takes the bait. And through Hushai and this hased, David has his life saved. And David's able to not be attacked, and Ahithophel's counsel is overtaken, and David gets all of his back. But here's the said for the living, a man going on the line. Who's watching it? Because the Hushai doing this to Jabesh Gilead, it's not worth it. And how do you explain it to somebody? Men of Jabesh Gilead, what are you going to do? We're going to go into Benghazi, and they left one of our CIA agents' bodies there. We're going to get it. Why? Well, because he saved my father's life. It doesn't sound very profitable. Now, that's something real extreme, but Yahweh preserved these things for us to learn, because we'll talk, the age abiding is Yahweh's
hased.
It's the refrain. Age abiding is Yahweh's hased, and He will honor us if we honor Him. If we practice hased, we're going to get hased. And if we understand this word, the word hased, and how powerful it is, specifically when our father's watching it, he can turn our situation like Jabesh Gilead or Ruth. And people should be able to look and say, what is this? So you don't know the word hased. The hased, I'll just go there right now. If you go to www.teleosministries.com, Teleos is T-E-L-E-I-O-S, you want to zoom in, ministries.com.
Never will show up.
Yeah, well. So I'll do it like this. Okay. And then you go down to the bottom of the screen. Books of interest. There's a free PDF that you can download. And then you'll have the hased in the Bible by Glulin. And that's it's incredible, much better than my teaching. But you start understanding this very special word, that there is no translation for this one word in the English. So kind of close, wrap things up. Ruth chapter 1, verse 8. Man, what? Yahweh deal with you in Hesed. What does that mean? Practice it. The Hesed for the dead. My brother-in-law is gone. I don't know when I'll get to see him again. But every opportunity I get to practice Hesed for him, Yahweh is honored and he is blessed. When can I do that? Can that Hesed be broken? Yes, if his descendants or something become very wicked, they break the Hesed, they burn my house down, or they attack me, they take me to court or something like that, they've broken the Hesed. But if they don't break the Hesed, I have Hesed with my brother-in-law to be there for him. And that's beautiful to Yahweh. And one day, when is Christ coming back? He'll get to see me. Think about the stories after the resurrection. When we get to meet the people who've gone to sleep prematurely, they come back and they go, look what Wendy did. You did that for me? I've been dead for 40 years. She's still not talking to me, but in hopes. When I get to see them, I owe you. And here this thing is, and Yahweh will reward you. That way your heart is your treasure will be. And here's, if you practice Hesed, you can expect Hesed. If you don't practice Hesed, don't expect it. Christians who are living in rebellion, who are dishonoring their parents, not loving their neighbors as themselves, if they're coveting thy neighbor's goods, they're doing all kinds of, don't expect Hesed. One of my favorite examples of Hesed and Yahweh using his Hesed for the dead. David, the king, his name is written by the author. Who's the author? Yahweh. Yahweh penned David's name 1,135 times.
Wow.
534 of those were after he's dead. Is that honor? David's going to get to see that. God, great is thy Hesed. David's going to see that. And when is David going to see that to Yahweh? Tick tock, man. 8 days, man. 8 days. 9 days. 10 days. It'll be 10 days, and David's going to get to see it. I can't wait. And here's Yahweh getting ready to be reunited with his family. Abraham's name. How many times did Yahweh pen his name? And this was, Abraham's name is penned by Yahweh 449 times. 139 times Yahweh honored the dead by writing his name after he was dead. 139 times Yahweh writes Abraham's name after he was dead. And that's a combination of Abram and Abraham. So Yahweh honored David 534 times in ink. Moshe or Moses, his name is penned 848 times in Yahweh's word. Yahweh honored him 201 times after his death. Moses didn't get to see it. But he's going to get to see it one day. Practice has said, teach has said, and know that we live an honorable Father and He'll reward you if you do what He says, knowing that He is the all-saying eye. Does the maker of the eye not see? He will honor you. He will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory if you do it. You do the word. I used to talk about Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Until my dad corrected me. He's really good at that because I'm good at mistakes and he's a corrector. He says, you have to read the context of Philippians 4:19. The context of that is if they sowed, they gave money. If you're not giving money and helping people, that doesn't apply to you. And I was like, oh, I've been giving money, okay. But other people have been climbing it, have been doing their job. It doesn't apply to them. Does Hesed apply to you in your life? It should, and it'll be rewarding if you do. And I'll close with a prophecy. Do not be fearful, but be reverent to your Creator and your Elohim. Speak to people and talk to them about me and say, do you not fear your Creator or when you will meet your Creator one day? And as you do so, I'll put words in your mouth and I'll give you teachings and parables that will make tears or eyes fill with tears and bring my children back to me. That's it.